Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 641, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon the Word of God found in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So therefore, the aim of this podcast, my beloved, is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and through prayer, of course, and the giving of the sense or the understanding of the Word of God, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived again, and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and from the eternal burning hell through believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through believing in Christ. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So today, dear friends, we are reading Nahum chapter 2, verse 2. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Lord, I am aware that many do not, but I do. And I pray, Holy Father God, that you would have continued mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are. And even as your people, please forgive us of our sins, our faults and our failures, and cleanse us and make us to be whiter than snow, deep down on the inside, through the precious blood of Christ on this Yom Kippur Sunday. Crucify our flesh and the old man within us for those of us who are truly saved. For everybody, as Paul said, does not have faith. Everybody who says they're saved, they're not. They're terrorists. And I am convinced if they don't love you back, if they don't love your holy word, if they hate reading your holy word, there's something wrong somewhere. If they don't want, they have no desire to really serve you. And they are constantly being, they are allowing themselves to constantly be used by the devil to try to hinder your work. There's something wrong somewhere. There are tares growing with the wheat. And so, Lord, we can only do what you told us to do. And we pray that you will, at the same time, cast the devil and the demons of hell out of your church and out of your work and out of your ministry. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would restrain the devilish ones, those who are filled with demons and devils, and who act like they cannot stop doing evil and trying to hinder your work and the going forth of your holy word and your holy gospel. Those who don't have any joy in that anymore or never have had it, Lord, we pray that your Holy Ghost would fill those of us who are saved to do your work, and we pray that you would restrain them from hindering your work from going forward. And we pray that millions would have a pathway of salvation and millions of Christians a pathway to come back to you, to return to you. Lord, that's what we need to do. We thank you for Jonathan Kahn coming up with that passionate idea. And Lord, help us who are believers in Christ to return to you. Thank you, Lord, for Franklin Graham in leading the prayer march. And they both realize that that is not enough. So help all of them and help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways. And Lord, we pray that there are people among us and out there who claim to be Christians, that they would have enough self-awareness that they are not acting like Christians, at least, and they may not even be Christians if they have an antagonistic spirit towards your gospel, towards your holy word, towards ministry, and that they just endure it instead of enjoy it, and that they are prompted by the devil to always try to cause a problem. Lord, open their blinded eyes and stop their deaf ears, save their souls and change their lives, and help them to realize what they are and to accept what they are. And if they are looking in the mirror and they want to change what they see, Lord, help them to trust in Thee. Help them to believe for real in You, Lord Jesus, and not be like Judas, not be like Jezebel, not be like Sanballat and Tobias. Drive those demon spirits out of the lives of the people here and out of the lives of the people out there. From the beginning of time, we have had to contend with this invisible enemy. We thank you for Anne Graham Lotz, who brought out this past week that we're under invisible attack, and that's the hardest kind of attack, clandestine attack. We can't see it, but it is there. And we have people who claim to be Christians who don't understand that and don't realize that. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, because there's somebody invisible fighting us and trying to hinder us and trying to stop us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take territory from this devil who thinks he has a right to some territory. Holy Father God, we pray that you would open the blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears and save lost souls, red, yellow, black, and white, for they're all precious in your sight. Now, Lord, bless and anoint the reading of your holy word. Have it the final lodging place in our hearts. Help us to meditate on it throughout this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Nahum chapter 2, verse 2. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob, as the excellency of Israel, for the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have just read in your hearing Nahum chapter 2, verse 2. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it, if you will, with the help of the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and always, of course, first and foremost with the help of the Holy Ghost of God. But I want to say here, just like God can heal you through a doctor, God can help you to understand His word through a doctor of theology who's been gifted by God to explain the word of God, to dig deep into the word of God. God has given them the gift to understand Greek and Hebrew, to dig deep, to bring it to you and to me. And don't be ashamed to use reputable and authoritative commentaries by those who have studied. Yes, they have been in the ivory tower while you have been in the street, but they can help you in the street by being in the ivory tower. It's all right. It's all good. Stop thinking that you got to get it directly all of the time. Yes, God will give you some revelation as well, but get some help from the scholars. It's okay. I know now what I'm talking about because I was raised in a church after I first got saved where the pastors and the elders poo-pooed on education and told me not to go to Bible college. And they called the seminary the cemetery. So, I know, but I will say, if you're called to preach, go ahead on and preach first some years and see what the Lord says, and then go to Bible college and seminary. Let God teach you all by yourself. Anyway, back to the text. The description of the attack is interrupted by a word about Jacob and Israel. Perhaps Jacob and Israel are synonyms for the entire nation, though possibly Jacob refers to the southern kingdom and Israel the northern kingdom. The destruction of Nineveh makes it possible for God's people to be taken out of their humbled, debased condition and to have their splendor restored. This will not be fully realized till Israel is in the land in the millennial kingdom, which the Messiah will establish. This will contrast with her having been laid waste by Assyria. The defeat of the northern kingdom in 722 BC, which included the ruining of her grapevines, therefore her wine, which is a sign of a curse and chastisement and destruction among God's people. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to stand between the living and the dead based upon your holy word. What a privilege it is to pray to you for the living and for the families who are hurting from dead loved ones and who are grieving. And so thus the name of this service, Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, a memorial, prayer, devotional, and evangelistic service. And so Holy Father God, have your Holy Ghost to spread like a blanket upon this wicked, evil, and ungodly world. And take your holy word like a hammer and break the hard, stubborn, wicked, stiff-necked hearts and minds, souls and spirits that all of us have become those who are saved, Lord, that we would become humble again and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and return from, your holy word has told us in the Old Testament, return back to you. It's the same thing as you told us to do in the New Testament. Get back to me, your first love. For you have left your first love. And so, Holy Father God, it's wonderful how your word dovetails together so beautifully, the Old Testament and the New Testament, letting us know once and again that it has been written by your Holy Ghost and for our benefit and for our good. And Holy Father God, we pray today that you would save those who are lost and revive those who are saved through your holy word, your holy gospel, your holy scriptures. Help everybody under the sound of my voice to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for your holy word makes it very clear that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shalt be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death. To these beautiful bodies, death to so many things before you die, death to marriages, death to relationships, death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately, you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and he said these words to you before he left here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments, and so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your Holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good. Until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, and but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you. Until next time.
If you look at the hard left and how they treat law enforcement in the last 5 or 6 years,